On February 10th of this year, commercial fisherman Nick Hayworth and his crew were working the waters 2 miles off the shore of San Clemente Island in Southern California, south of Long Beach. Nick's 1.5-year-old German Shepherd puppy, a little dog named Luna, was aboard the ship as usual until suddenly and inexplicably Luna disappeared, vanished. Presuming she fell overboard, Nick and his crew stopped collecting their traps in order to look for Luna. They also phoned the office of the Naval Auxiliary Landing Field on San Clemente Island just in case Luna swam to shore. No luck. Nick and his crew stayed at sea for 2 more days of searching. The Navy scoured the shore for a week, but their task was made more difficult because the dog's coat matched the muted tans and browns of San Clemente Island's rocky shoreline. Eventually, reality set in, and the pup was presumed dead. But 5 weeks later, as Navy staff were driving to work on the island, they spotted Luna sitting next to the road. And when the pooch saw the officer, she ran right up to them. Luna was examined by a Navy wildlife biologist who found her to be undernourished but otherwise unharmed. The pup was, in his words, in good spirits. Well, the Navy flew Luna to a nearby naval air station where a glad reunion eventually took place between dog and owner. In Nick's mind, his dog had died, but had come back to life. That's a resurrection we can explain. The resurrection of Jesus, we can't. We can't explain how a tomb unsealed itself. We can't explain how a cold corpse, completely devoid of life, could once again find its heart pumping and its nerves tingling and its muscles flexing and its lungs billowing. There's no rational explanation for the reanimation of a man who had been executed nearly 2 full days earlier. There is no rational explanation for the resurrection of Jesus. But the explanation does not rest on reason. It rests on faith. It was a faith that even the apostles and other followers of Jesus had difficulty embracing at first. The women who went to the tomb were surprised when they found it open and empty, and they didn't understand what had happened. Peter and the other apostles didn't understand when the women came to them to report finding the tomb empty. Nor did they believe the women's report that heavenly messengers had reminded them that Jesus himself had predicted this death to life resurrection. In fact, Peter couldn't stand it. He got up and he ran to the tomb to see for himself that it had been opened and vacated. The Bible says he went back home amazed at what had happened. Amazed at what had happened. Did he understand? I doubt it. But did he believe? We can't explain what happened when Jesus was raised from death to life, but that's how God is. God's ways soar far beyond our abilities to understand. God's ways are far beyond our ability. I mean, we can't explain how God designed teeny tiny atoms to be the building blocks of everything that exists. Despite our scientific understanding of climate change, still we can't explain how we could experience among the coldest and the warmest winters on record in consecutive years. We can't explain how the human being is capable of showing immense compassion on the one hand and unspeakable cruelty on the other. We can't explain it. So if you feel the least bit unworthy because you're here to celebrate an event of religious and historic significance that you just don't understand, all I can say is, it's all right. Not one of us can explain it. But each of us can embrace it. Each of us can embrace that in the resurrection of Jesus, God is announcing a second chance. Now, the second chance isn't for Jesus. The resurrection is not about Jesus having a second chance to tell one more parable. The resurrection is not about Jesus having a second chance to change water into an even better wine, having a second chance to stroll once more across the waters of the Sea of Galilee. No. The second chance made possible by Christ's resurrection is a second chance for you and me. God first sent Jesus the Son to live among us, to show us how the lives we lead can be dedicated to serving God's will. In perfect obedience to God, Jesus willingly took the blame for humanity's sinfulness. As the scapegoat for humanity's fears, his earthly life was silenced, ended, through an act of unimaginable cruelty. He was put to death on a cross. And then a night passed, and then a day, and then another night, enough time so that it would be beyond dispute, Jesus was dead. That's when God in Jesus shed the trappings of death and returned to the world of the living. But how did his new lease on life give us a second chance? Well, recall what Jesus said while he was hanging by spikes, hammered into the cross. At one point, he prayed for the sake of his accusers and executioners. He said, "Forgive them, Father. They don't know what they're doing." Forgiveness offers one example of a kind of second chance. When we realize that out of immense mercy, God has already forgiven our shortcomings and our wrongs, we discover we've been given a clean slate on which to begin writing a new story of our lives. And what's more, once we realize that we have a second chance because God has forgiven us, it occurs to us that we, in turn, can grant someone else a second chance. We can create second chances for others by offering our forgiveness for the hurt they caused by whatever offense they willingly or unknowingly committed. The sting of words spoken long ago can be soothed by graciously extending the olive branch of forgiveness. Personal hardship caused by someone else's selfish action, that can be put in the past through forgiveness. That chasm separating former friends or relatives, that chasm can be bridged by reaching out with forgiveness. But let's be frank here. Extending the offer of forgiveness, that can be hard to do. Hard to do. We wonder if we can trust. We worry if we'll be taken advantage of. We have doubts whether our offer will be accepted with appreciation or will cause us to be subjected to ridicule. So we ask God for the courage to take the risk. We risk offering forgiveness because forgiving someone is the first step toward being reconciled, brought together again. For about the next 2 months, our worship will focus on the theme of spring awakening. Just as the flora and fauna of Earth awakened with the coming of spring. I know I saw 5 deer as I was driving to church this morning. Just as they come awake with spring, we will use this spring to explore how our faith calls us to awaken to new possibilities in action, new possibilities in relationship. In Romans chapter 13, St. Paul urges us to adopt a new urgency in living into the consequences of our faith, what we believe. Paul wrote, "The hour has already come for you to wake up from your slumber, because our salvation is nearer now than when we first believed." This year, the familiar story of Easter prompts us to consider how we can awaken to second chances. God gave Jesus new life after certain death. Jesus himself prayed for second chances for the people who hated him. Second chances for the people who hurt him. Second chances even for those who until then had ignored him. By rising from the grave, Jesus shows us that there is power in having an opportunity for a second chance. He shows that God gives us the power, gives us the power to offer second chances. Think of it. People or groups, even institutions that have caused us pain, will be blessed and changed by our ability to forgive. We can be God's gracious instruments of second chances when we extend to others the forgiveness that we have received from God. Let it be so. Amen.